The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency. I'm your host, Kevin Turley, and we're about to pray. And that woman was praying in Hebrew. She was praying to Yeshua, which we know as our Lord and Savior, Jesus. So we've just been talking about spiritual combat and all those good things. So it's about time that we entered into it. And we do so every day at 9 a.m. here on Archangel Radio on the Turley Frequency, when we say together the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And each day in that prayer, I'm accompanied by a prayer warrior, somebody who is willing to pick up their cross and carry it for you each day by intercessory prayer. Okay, let's find out today, who is that prayer warrior?
In the studio with us, Kevin, we have Miss B. Evans.
B., welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
How's life treating you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm glad it's treating you well. That sounds really positive, B. Are you a very positive person all the time?
Oh, I sure am.
Why is that?
Because God loves me, and I woke up this morning, and I get to do His will, whatever it is.
Wow.
There you go.
Listen, Reed, can you find a canon so we can canonize B straight away?
I don't think so. I'm too human.
Listen, that answer came straight out of St. Thomas Aquinas, I think. That's a wonderful thing. Listen, it's just great to have you here this morning. I'm so grateful that you've given up your time to come in and pray with me. For all the people listening to this show who need our prayers this morning, B, they need our help. An SOS is going out, and you and I are going to respond to it together, along with everybody else who prays along with us here on this station each day. And I hope, B, you have brought many, many prayer requests for us to pray for today.
I have done my darnest, yes.
Wonderful. Good. In which case, then, I guess we'd better start.
Okay.
Go
ahead.
No, go ahead. No, please, B.
No, I was just going to, I didn't know if you want me to start with a request, but we could start with the sign of the cross.
What we're going to do, B, is we're going to start with the sign of the cross, the introductory prayers. Then I'm going to stop and remind our audience about how to get in touch with the show, how to get their request to us. And then we're going to start with the first deck hit, and you are on deck.
Okay.
How does that sound?
Fantastic.
Okay. In which case, let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
and I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bea. That is us up and running. Now, before Bea and I kick off with the first decade, I just want to remind you how you can contact this show and how you can get us praying for your intentions. There's two ways. You can telephone the show on 888-928-0881. Reid will take your call. You can come on air, or you can be totally anonymous and Reid will send us through your prayer request. The second way is by texting the show directly on 251-928-2111. And as I say every single day, what have you got to lose and what might you gain? Okay, for this first decade, Bea, who or what would you like us to pray for?
I want to pray for all those who are going through either some kind of procedure or getting ready for surgeries, that the Lord will guide the doctor's hands and protect the individuals as they are going through the procedures or their surgeries.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful prayer, Bea. I don't know if you were listening yesterday, but that was the main theme of the whole prayer yesterday. We had so many people who were going into surgery, just had surgery, and we were praying for them all. So this seems to be the theme this week, to pray for everybody who is undergoing some sort of medical procedure or surgery this week. And as Bea's also saying, we're also praying for all the doctors, all the medical team, all the staff in the hospital, that everybody treat everybody with great, great tenderness and respect. We're all ill at some point in our lives, and we all really value it when other people just give us a little bit of kindness, a little bit of sympathy sometimes. It's a wonderful healing balm, as well as all the medical stuff. So let's pray for that spirit to come down upon all the hospitals, especially in Mobile and there and in Lower Alabama. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, B. Now, we had a text in, came in yesterday late, and it came from our good friend Karen. And Karen, she's texted the show again. Karen, thank you so much for getting in touch yesterday. I'm sorry, your text came in too late for us to deal with it yesterday, but I hadn't forgotten. It was on my list this morning, but you've preempted me by starting here again. So first of all, Karen comes out with a declaration of faith, a confession of faith, B. Where do you hear this? She says, yes, I believe in miracles, and miracles is all in caps. So Karen is my type of woman. She believes in miracles. Well done, Karen. I'm sure, Bea, you believe in miracles too.
Oh, I do, definitely.
And I know Reid does, because I asked him earlier. I mean, this show is a miracle. You know that, Bea.
Yes. It really
in
is.
In more ways than one that I can go into on her. It's a miracle it happens. Okay, so listen, Karen's texted us and asked for prayers for healing for Dale, who is suffering from crippling neuropathy in his feet. So Dale, if you're listening to this, we give thanks for Karen's good friendship to you, and we pray that this crippling pain in your feet deceases in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that your feet be restored to their pristine state, if indeed that is God's will. Karen goes on to say, please pray for several intentions of a medical and emotional healing for me. I believe they will be answered. Karen, they will be answered. Trust in God. God is good. God is good. And he loves us to ask for things. So all those special intentions that are known to you and to God alone, we offer them up in this decade and ask that the Lord be merciful to you this morning, Karen. She's also asking for prayers for baby Noah. What a great name, Noah. Born on Tuesday. Wow. £2. Prayers for little baby Noah and his whole family. Bea, do you have children?
Yes, I have 3 grown children.
So you know that excitement of having a newborn baby in the family.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Talk about miracles. They are miracles.
Noah is a miracle, Karen. And we give thanks, first of all, for Noah. And we ask for a special blessing on Noah. Special little child being prayed for this morning by all these good people across Lower Alabama and beyond this morning praying with us. So let's pray for Noah to be really given a very, very special blessing. And let's also pray that he gets baptized soon. I don't agree with this hanging on for a long time. I would have them baptized on the day, but that's me. And Karen finishes with, thank you, Jesus, for the prayers answered. Jesus, I trust in you. Thank you, Karen. No, thank you, Karen, for such a beautiful text with so much wonderful things that we can pray for, give thanks for. And above all, we're going to pray for you as well, Karen. We're going to pray for all your intentions and all your needs at this time, as we say. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you so much, Bea. So that is Karen well and truly prayed for. This third decade, I'm turning back to you, Bea. Who or what shall we pray for?
Oh, pray for our government and for all our leaders, that they will hear God's word and they follow God's word and let go of self-interest.
Yes, absolutely. That is much needed in this world today. It was always needed, though, B. I mean, you and I are old enough to know that all governments need prayers because they're made up of fallible human beings who have all sorts of pressures on them from different people. So let's pray especially for the United States government. Let's pray for the government in Alabama, in Mobile, in the county. Let's pray for the state. Let's pray for the federal government across the United States, and also pray for its executives in the Supreme Court, the president, and also for Congress. Let's pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a fresh Pentecost upon the United States in these coming days. What about that, Bea?
That sounds good. And the eradication of this division that is in our country.
Yes, the devil loves that. The devil is the great divider. He will turn mother against son, he will turn husband against wife, and within countries we've seen it, he turns people against each other. I grew up in a country that was divided with that, and looking back from a distance I can see that it was devilish. It turned neighbor against neighbor that were once friends and turned them into enemies, bloodthirsty enemies at that. So this is the work of the devil, this division. So let's pray for unity, let's pray for peace. We can disagree with people, but we can do it in a charitable way and in a way that prays that they come to the truth of our holy faith. Is that it, Bea?
That sounds pretty wonderful, yes.
Okay, well, let's pray for that this morning. And let's really believe that these prayers will make a difference in our lives, in our families, in our communities, and in our nations. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, B. So we've come to the fourth decade now, and we will be praying for, well, I was going to say we're going to pray for Dan, but I've just had another prayer request that's being texted in. It's anonymous. Good morning to you, Anonymous. And it is as follows. It's asking for prayers for those battling with mental health issues, spiritual battles, and especially for all our priests, as they need our prayers more than ever. Well, Anonymous, thank you for that text. You have taken the words out of my mouth, because I was just going to pray Dan Snyder, our guest this morning. First of all, pray for Dan and give thanks to God for his ministry, but also his intention. And his intention was to pray for priests and for bishops, that they be true to their calling and they be true to the witness to the gospel, in season and out of season, as St. Paul urged us all many centuries ago. So we pray for all our priests across, especially across the Archdiocese of Mobile. Yesterday we had Rob Herbst on, and we heard about that wonderful priest. I think his name was Father Irwin, and he had learned Spanish so that he could minister to his flock all the better. So there are many good priests who are putting themselves out really for their flock, and we give thanks for them and their witness. And we pray for Bishop Rohde as well. Pray that his health will continue to be strong, and that he will continue to look after his flock here in Alabama. And as we were talking in the last segment all about spiritual battles and the spiritual war, we pray for anybody who is engaged in that, feels that they are losing that battle. We pray that we can be a kind of air support to you this morning, that we can help you, we can encourage you in that battle. And for anybody suffering from mental illness, we offer your sufferings up to the Lord. I know we were talking about some of the silliness around mental health earlier, but it's a very serious subject, and anybody who is suffering from clinical mental health depressions, we pray that you get the help and the care that you need at this time, and that we ask the Lord to be merciful to you and to your family. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay, thank you so much, B. Now, believe it or not, we have come to our fifth and final decade, and I have a note that we are graced with Sherry Jackson, who does so much for this station and who organizes all our prayer warriors. Sherry, welcome to the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Good morning, Kevin.
I'm assuming you have come laden with lots of intentions.
Well, I have one special intention today. It is for the repose of the soul of Woody McPhillips, who passed away a week or so ago, and they are having a memorial service today. And so I pray for his family and all his loved ones that will be laying him to rest today.
Thank you very much, Sherry. Yes, let's pray for the soul of Woody. Let's pray for his family this morning. May the souls of all his faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Sherry, for bringing that to our attention. And let's include you as well in this fifth decade, your family, your extended family, and all your needs, all your professional needs and all your personal needs, we include in this fifth and final decade. Okay, Reed, who or what would you like us to pray for?
Thank you, Kevin. I would love to pray for Hawaii. They're experiencing wildfires there. And apparently on the island of Maui, there have already been 55 lives lost as of the news cycle this morning. So I couldn't imagine being on, you know, having a home on an island and part of it is on fire. That seems absolutely horrifying.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. Well, we have a wonderful American saint who's linked to Hawaii, which is Father Damien, Blessed Damien of Molokai. He lived out in Hawaii. His ministry was out in Hawaii. In fact, he was ordained in Hawaii. So let's invoke Father Damien in this fifth and final decade. Father Damien, please help the Hawaiians. Help them with this fire. Send this fire back to where it came from. Let rain come, like in the Bible with Elijah. Let the rains come and let it wash away all of these fires from Hawaii at this time. Thank you very much for that, Reed. Okay, and I had forgotten that we have Robert Brennan coming up in the next segment. So let's pray as well for Robert. We pray for all our contributors. Let's remember all our contributors this week. We had two Harrys. We had one Harry full and one Harry a little bit broken because his phone wasn't working. We had Elizabeth talking to us about manatees. Do you remember all of that? And whoever else we had who I can't remember, all our guests this week and all our contributors, we thank you so much for your contribution to this show. And we pray for you now. We also pray for all our prayer warriors, including B this morning. We pray for all your needs and all your intentions, and we give thanks for your selflessness in coming to Archangel and praying with us. And also on a Friday, we tend to thank and give thanks for everybody at Archangel Radio, for Ellen, for Todd, for Mike, for Sherry, for Shannon, for Reed, and for Michelle, and for everybody associated with it, and for all our board members, especially our new board members, one of whom we met during the week. So let's pray for everybody on the board, all our donors and all our sponsors. We give you thanks. I'd also like to pray, especially before we come to you, B, for two people who are injured at the moment, but in recovery. We've got Mary Thompson. Mary, you had your foot injury or your foot operated on during the week. If you're listening, we hope that your recovery is very, very good and very, very swift. And we have the same prayer for Jennifer Romano, who injured herself during the week and is now got less mobility than she had. So, Jennifer, if you're listening, we're praying for you and your family at this time as well. Okay, B, final word to you.
Oh, okay. Just for the sanctity of marriage, for our youth, our children, for the end of abortion and human trafficking, we pray to the Lord.
Yes. Absolutely. We pray to the Lord for that. So the sanctity of marriage for the young people, for the end of human trafficking and abortion and all other ills such as that in the United States and beyond. That's a really powerful prayer. Reed, is there some more intentions? I just had a note.
Yes, Kevin. I would love to pray for Sister Margaret, who is the former principal of St. Patrick's School in Robertsdale. And, she had actually done it for 40 years, and now she is still in Robertsdale getting the new principal ready. And once all that's done, I think she's going to be here just about two more weeks, and then she's going to be heading back to Ireland, where she's going to be rejoining the rest of her order. So
that's right.
I would love to pray for her.
I think that's a lovely prayer. And Sister Margaret, if you're listening to this, I would love to speak to you on air before you depart from Alabama. As a fellow, I come from almost exactly the same part of the world as you. If you could just have a little chat on air, it would be lovely to give thanks for your 40 years of service to the people of Alabama. Sister Margaret, thank you. Thank you for that read. And anybody else?
Well, I would love to pray for any Catholics who are looking for their spouse, and just that they see their community as a source of support.
Amen. We want lots of holy marriages. Look to your community for support. And if you're having difficulty finding that support in your community, visit your optician and pray a little bit harder as well. Look a little bit beyond that. We're a big community, the Catholics. There's a billion of us. There must be somebody out there who meets your criteria. But in all seriousness, matrimony is a vocation. And let's pray for many, many holy vocations, because good homes produce good families and they produce little saints. And that's what this is all about. So thank you for that, Reed. Let's pray for that, and let's pray for many happy marriages. And if somebody finds their spouse after this prayer, give us a ring on Monday and let us know who it is and how happy you are. Okay. I think that's enough for the fifth and final decade. What do you reckon, B? We've loaded it up somewhat.
We sure have.
The chassis of our vehicle is creaking. We have so many this time, Kevin.
In which case, let's offload it to the Lord, as we say. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Jesus.
O my Jesus.
I trust in you.
O my Jesus.
I trust in you.
O my Jesus.
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. B, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to come in and pray with us here this morning on Archangel Radio.
Thank you. It was a privilege.
And B, come back soon.
I will. Thank you.
And bring as many friends as you like. Don't listen to Reed. Bring as many friends as you like.
Thank you. I will.
All right. Listen, B, have a wonderful, blessed Friday and have a beautiful weekend with your friends and family.
Thank you. And you too.
Now, when we come back, we are leaving the City of Angels, which is Mobile, to another city which terms itself the City of Angels, though I am not so sure. That is Los Angeles. And we're going to be speaking to our Hollywood reporter, Mr. Robert Brennan, about all things Hollywood, strikes, no strikes, AI, Disney, Mickey Mouse. We'll have it all covered in the next segment. Stay tuned to the Charlie Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio.
I saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen.
Welcome back to Turley Frequency here on Friday. Yeah, Friday's edition of the Turley Frequency. Listen, after that last half hour, 30 minutes of prayer with B and all our prayer warriors, with Reed and with the whole gang, if that hasn't cheered you up, I don't know what's going to, really. You know, I really don't know. But probably like me, you are worried sick at the moment, right? I know that. I get it, right? You are probably lying awake at night, unable to sleep because of the Hollywood strike that is now just past its 100 days, as we were listening to earlier. That's right. During those 100 days, these last 100 days, we have been deprived of red carpet events, movie premieres, and multi-millionaire Hollywood A-listers educating us on world poverty and climate change. I'm not sure I can take much more. I don't know about you. Anyway, to find out what is happening in the City of Angels, I'm delighted to welcome back our very own Hollywood reporter, Mr. Robert Brennan. Rob, welcome back to the Turley Frequency.
Thanks, Kevin. Good morning.
Rob, how are you coping out there? I mean, you're probably like me. I mean, this is getting serious, right?
Well, you know, it is serious. I mean, there... you know, it's 100 days now, and, you know, since May 2nd. And, you know, not every Hollywood script writer or television writer is, you know, lighting cigars with $100 bills. And, you know, there's a couple of serious issues that I don't know how they sandpaper over them. I don't know, you know, what happens. I mean, this new world of streaming is just, it has changed the landscape amazingly so.
Yeah, I mean, all joking aside, I mean, there are some really fundamental issues at stake here in terms of where Hollywood goes. You said there were two. Let's just go through them, Rob. Let's have your analysis of them. The first up, obviously, AI, use of AI and all of that. Talk me through your thoughts on that.
You know, I think AI has more ramifications for the Screen Actors Guild with regards to, you know, for instance, one of the proposals that the producers have for the Screen Actors Guild is that they can digitize the images of extras when they shoot
one show, and then
own those images in perpetuity. And that's pretty amazing. We're not quite there yet where AI is going to write a complete script, but, you know, the writers need to be worried about that too. And, you know, they want to make sure part of their proposals to the producers is that AI could only be used for research purposes. So, you know, that might be the little door opened that AI will march through, and who knows what happens when the next contract's up.
I mean, I have some sympathy, obviously, with the writers and the actors in all seriousness, but there's an element as well, Rob, and we've discussed this on this show, where Hollywood as an industry, the film industry in Hollywood, has kind of shot itself in the foot so many times in recent years, because let's be honest, we've laughed about this, but we've also cried about it. There's been so many really sort of lukewarm sequels or derivatives or franchises, whatever you want to call them. It's the same old product being reheated and warmed up and served time and time and time again, to the point where people are saying we don't want it anymore. And it makes me wonder, could an AI do any better, actually? Because some of us thought that it was AI was producing this stuff anyway.
Well, in some cases, it couldn't do any worse. but
that is
I think the strike is really all about the business end. You know, the model has changed so much over the last. The canary in the coal mine was when cable TV came out. And a good friend of mine.
Just for the benefit of our listener, Robert, and you've got time, don't worry, take your time.
Okay.
Talk about, this is ancient history for some people. Some people weren't born, Robert, when you and I were tuning into cable television. So you might want to give it a date stamp in some way.
So in the olden days when dinosaurs roamed, there were three networks, and all the writers' contracts, the WGA contracts, were really all about broadcast television. Well,
that's right.
25 years ago or so, cable comes out, and that's really technically not broadcast, but they grandfathered in a lot of cable. But what really changed the playing field was big studios owned cable stations. And a good friend of mine who was a writer God rest his soul, he worked on Miami Vice, and Miami Vice was a gigantic series in the 80s.
Huge.
And the model was, if a show was a big hit and you had over 100 episodes, well, then the production company would syndicate that in reruns. And the motivation for the production company was to get the most money possible. And then we're talking, you know, they'd be sold for like, you know, $100 million. Well, the model changed when Universal produced Miami Vice. Universal also owned a cable station called the USA Network. So instead of selling Miami Vice for $100 million to a syndicator, Universal sold it to the USA Network for pennies, because they were still going to get their revenue by selling commercials on the USA Network. But what that meant was that the residuals for writers, directors, and actors were connected to the sale price. So they're, you know, my friend was expecting to get, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, and residuals are really the lifeblood of a freelance writer, because
keeps you
alive in the lean time.
Totally.
Well, all of a sudden he was getting checks for, you know, a couple hundred dollars. I mean, it was amazing. And now we fast forward to where we are now with streaming, the residuals for streaming, because the streaming is not part of the old contract, and they want to keep it that way. And so the writers don't get paid as much. They get paid very little, actually. And the residuals are basically non-existent. Yet they stream these programs forever. And so that is the big sticking point. Yeah.
Now, there is a little bit of precedent here, isn't there, Robert? Because the original Screen Actors Guild strike of 1960 was all about residuals, wasn't it? Ronald Reagan was in charge of it. And it was all about the transition from movie theaters to television. The emergence, the ascendancy of television was beginning at that point. And we have reached in this strike, interestingly, what do you think? I mean, is this another epoch moment change when we're moving in terms of technology? Technological advance, that whatever the way was since 1960, which had been settled, is now history, and we are into a totally different ball game from now on.
I think so. Look at the music industry. You know, there's a reason, you know, 80-year-old rock stars are still performing on stage, because they can't make any money the way they used to on radio, because all you have to do is stream it on, you know, any number of music apps, and they get paid, you know, one quarter of one penny every time that streams. So that has changed, and they haven't cracked that nut. And I think they're looking down the barrel of a similar situation with the TV and not so much screenwriters, because screenwriters can still demand a high, you know, upfront salary. But with television writers, it's changing, the writers have proposed a deal that would cost the producers $400 million. Then the counteroffer from the producers is a $90 million deal. So they are miles and miles apart.
Now, they're having a meeting today, isn't it? I think the screenwriters and the studio bosses are having a meeting. Do you see anything coming out of that?
Well, I've been involved in some strikes myself, right? And the biggest problem with the Writers Guild, and I still get all my Writers Guild newsletters and updates, the negotiating committee for the Writers Guild is made up of writers. The negotiating team for the producers is made up of Ivy League killer lawyers. So who do you think is in that room is, you know, prepared? And the Writers Guild has always been this way. And, you know, writers have a tendency to think a lot of themselves. And you go into a room with guys like that, and, you know, bad things can happen. And that's, I think, another reason why if we had more professional negotiators, they might have been able to come to some kind of an agreement before 100 days is out.
Well, there's also something which is, I'm afraid, true of all strike action in any industry, which is the longer it goes on, the harder it is for those that are striking to keep the enthusiasm going, pay the bills, obviously, and all the rest of it. But people start to just get weary of what, you know, because as I said, I said it in the opening monologue, the real power is with the studios, not with the unions. And anybody who thinks otherwise is fooling themselves. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Especially there's so much content already produced, you know, that they can use and which they are using. And you know, it's also the other change is it, in the olden days when there were three networks, there was a season. Okay, there was the new show season. Well, that doesn't exist anymore. So there's no pressure on the producer saying, boy, if we don't settle this strike by this date, we're not going to be able to start our new shows in September. Well, new shows start 12 months out of the year now. So, and they have a lot of shows that are already produced that they haven't started streaming yet. So you're right. I mean, the power is, you know, always has been in the producer's hands.
Now, what do you make of, I find this quite incredible, the latest information, press release, whatever you want to call it, coming out of Disney, which is launching its task force to study AI and cut costs. Yeah, exactly. You can laugh, Mickey, but the laugh will be on the other side of your face in a moment. What do you think of that, Robert? I mean, A, the insensitivity to it, but I mean, we also put that alongside, was it Bob Iger's comments when the strike started, that he made some disparaging comments about actors and writers and all the rest of it. I mean, Disney's already going over the cliff with its wokery and its Seven Dwarfs and all of that stuff, which we might get to in a moment. But I mean, who's in charge of the PR at Disney? Because they obviously need to be prized off that steering wheel quite quickly.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Bob Iger was supposed to come in and save the day. And all Bob Iger's done is just take the wheel of the Titanic and keep it on course. And I think you're right. I mean, I've never seen Disney with this kind of a run of big budget movies, whether it's a theatrical release or their streaming service is a mess. Just one thing after another, people do not want to watch. And now I think it makes sense that they're looking. You know, maybe the problem is the writers and the actors, and they'll invest. And believe me, they'll still have the resources to invest heavily into AI. And I think that's a mouse in the coal mine.
Well, I mean, that's the one studio you think where they don't need to negotiate too much because they're all a lot of them are cartoon characters, but I guess there's the voice actors and the various other types that are involved in that. But it's a very strange. I mean, Disney, I just can't get my head around at the moment. I mean, whoever is deciding their policies. I mean, I just was reading today they now have some gender fluid influencer who's going to take charge of their girls' empowerment department or some such nonsense. I mean, you know,
they have a boy who dresses like a girl is going to be showing children on the Disney Plus, you know, how to dress like Minnie Mouse. Yeah. Yep.
You know, when I see Mickey and Minnie these days, I don't know who's who half time. Do you know what I mean? It's enough to drive you to whatever.
Well, so, I've always worried that I've never seen Goofy and Clarabelle the cow in the same room at the same time, and that always disturbed me. But that's another story.
So you're talking about transhumanism almost in the whole the whole sphere of Disney. I mean, Walt must be turning in his grave in his bank vault. He must be. It's just unbelievable.
Well, you mentioned that Snow White thing and. Mercy.
Well, talk to me. What did you think of that? Because we had a good laugh about it on the show, I must admit. I mean, first of all, the way in which it was handled, that they suggested these photographs were not of the production, and then they said they were just not official, which means they are of the production. I mean, what do you think of seven gender fluid entities as opposed to seven dwarfs? I mean, first of all, it's very hard on actors who are a bit short, right?
Well, when I first saw that image, I thought, oh, I wish I had thought of that. What a clever satire on the state of things. And then a couple of days later, it was all true. They are doing this, and that is their cast. And, yeah, I think they're being very prejudicial against people of shorter stature. And what is it called then? It's not seven dwarves. It's seven... You know,
well,
it's going to be a very long title.
I mean, I'm not even sure they're allowed to have seven because that probably discriminates against eight. Mickey, you can laugh at this, but there's a serious subject here, because the other thing is this: when that film comes out, Robert, the amount of lampooning that it's going to get before it ever hits the screens, right? The number of jokes, I mean, we're already laughing about it and mocking it and making fun of it, and it hasn't, nothing has been seen yet. I mean, this is a PR disaster from the get-go, right?
I would be surprised, and, you know, I can be surprised. I've been wrong before. I would be surprised if this does make it all the way through production, because I think what they've already received as far as the, you know, the PR catastrophe that it is, coupled with all of their, you know, sooner or later they have to make a business decision that they can't keep trying to shove the woke stuff down people's throats, because they just won't take it.
No, I think we've all had enough of Disney and the dismal world of Walt Disney for a while anyway. Now, talking of more exciting things, we've got on the show on Monday, Chuck and Kerry, your good friends, good friends of ours now, and Father Darren, that little group, which I think you should be a member of as well, Robert, that sort of cognoscenti, Catholic cognoscenti there in the center of Hollywood. But Nefarious is streaming next week, as you know. But the big news that we've been covering for the last couple of weeks is just the rise and rise of box office receipts for Sound of Freedom. I mean, not in our wildest dreams. I checked this morning, it's $167 million at the U.S. box office alone. As you know, it's got a rollout across South America and across Europe now. It's coming to England in September 1st, I think. So the receipts are, I mean, it's probably going to double that in terms. This is a budget of about $14 to $15 million. I mean, first of all, are you surprised by this? And secondly, what future does you think that hold for other filmmakers of a similar vintage?
Couple things. One, I am surprised because I never really know what to expect. It was amazing because, you know, it had a bigger weekend, opening weekend, than Indiana Jones. And then I saw stats that it had better per theater receipts than the Mission Impossible movie. And, my, you know, then I knew something is really happening and this thing has legs. I think most definitely it's going to impact for the good, as far as it's going to make it easier for more independents to, you know, sell these kinds of films with these kinds of not only storylines, but also the point of view that they're coming from. Absolutely.
That's right.
I mean, just look at, you know, what Chuck and Kerry have done. I mean, their movies have spawned, you know, other films of like minds, and the fact that this movie is done on such a quality level, and it can be taken just as a good action movie too, as opposed to, you know, not just the fact that the subject matter is so profound and you know, enthralling, but no, absolutely, I think it's a game changer.
What do you know about Angel Studios? I mean, they've really, I mean, this is their moment where they have emerged. I mean, I know very little about them.
You know, I don't either. I'm actually, you know, I did a review. They asked me to review Sound of Freedom, which I was happy to do, and they sent me an advanced copy. And
sure,
they've sent me another advanced copy of another film, which I can't talk about yet because there's an embargo on it. But
I think that's the one I'm in, isn't it, Robert?
Yes, starring Kevin Turley.
No,
as Iron Man.
It's a remake of Snow White. No, it's not.
I'm not going to ask which character you are. Okay, no, I don't want to. I don't want no spoiler alert.
Goofy. So this starts to sound like a pipeline they've got going.
I think so. And the one thing that they have in common, the films that they are involved with, is a level of quality. And I hate to say mainstream, but, you know, we've all seen these films, Kevin, where someone, you know, they get a car salesman to give them some money. They get someone else to give them some money.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the writing's over the top. The message, even though it's a good message, you know, that is God-centered, but it's hammering people over the head with it, and it just doesn't resonate. What Angel does is different. It's a production company in every sense of the word. They just have a very strong point of view but they also understand that it has to be done in an artistic way, and it has to be done in a way that's appealing to, you know, a mass audience. They're not trying to narrow cast. They're trying to, you know, spread
that's
this out. We don't want to just be preaching to ourselves.
Do you think that, you're a man of, sorry, Robert, please.
I'm sorry. I think Nefarious was that way too. I mean, it appealed to people. So let's see a scary movie.
Definitely.
Yeah. Go see a scary movie because it is scary.
Nefarious is just a great movie, right? I mean, regardless of your political slant, it's just a great movie in that genre, which I know very well and enjoy very much. It's very much that sort of thing. It is what it is. But with your writing hat on, Robert, because you're also a screenwriter, do you see this as a window of opportunity for people like yourself, you know, that can maybe make a contribution? Because, you know, you don't have to go through the whole sort of Disney values, blah, blah. You can just turn up and say, we've got a good story. I mean, do you think it's a window of opportunity that people are beginning to sense has opened for people who don't want to deal with the Snow Whites of this world and just want to write good movies?
I sure hope so, because I've got a drawer full of spec scripts that I'm going to dust off. And, maybe the world is at least one part of it is more ready for it.
I mean, I hope you're serious in that, because, I mean, why not? Why not? I mean, you know and I know that the type of movies you were just describing there, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but there are some, you know, we've talked about this before. Message movies are great, but as Alfred Hitchcock said, if you want to send a message, use Western Union. And sometimes you can have Christian message movies, and they've got the right message. Yes, we all agree it's like being at church on a Sunday morning, but it's actually not cinematic entertainment. So why not have some of your scripts, which I'm sure are pure cinematic entertainment, why not send them off to these people? I mean, that's the other question. I mean, is it relatively easy to get the attention of these people, or has Sound of Freedom kind of, in a way, made the drawbridge go up?
Oh, that's an interesting way to look at it. I think in one way, yes, and another way, no. People, I think, are more... they're more prone to take chances now, I think, with material that might not otherwise, you know, be something that they're looking at because of a Sound of Freedom. And but at the same time, there's still that resistance. So I think maybe, you know, what Angel Productions is doing is, going to lead to more production houses like that and more funding, because they can show, look, you know, this is something to you want to be involved in. Because, yeah, it's nice to, you know, to have, it's still a business and people want to make money at it, and especially people who are fronting these projects. So it's sort of the best of both worlds.
Now, I have a comment being sent through to me here, Robert, from a listener who says the actress playing Snow White was explaining that the movie wasn't really for men, so they could make it however they wished. So it's not really for you and me. We're not aficionados of princesses and princes and
well,
dwarfs.
I don't think it's for children
and good
either.
Movies. Even though one of the first movies I ever saw was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and loved every minute of it. So the new Snow White is for whatever demographic they are aiming for. Believe it or not, Robert, we have come to the end of our segment. I can't believe it goes all too quickly. I want to ask two questions. Well, I want to, first of all, you'll be able to tell people where they can read your wonderful writing and all the rest in a moment. But before we do, are there any last-minute recommendations? Robert and I do this whenever we meet. There's often an old film somewhere on YouTube which is free to watch, and Robert and I throw it out there so you can go and watch it with your family this weekend. Any ideas, Robert? Any suggestions?
I've got one. I stumbled on it the other day on YouTube looking for something else. Our Man in Havana with Alec Guinness and Marino Harris.
Wow. That is on YouTube, is it?
That is on YouTube. You know, it's a wonderful story by Graham Greene. It's lovely. It's darkly comic, and it also has a lot of profundity as well. It's Our Man in Havana with Alec Guinness and Maureen O'Hara. That is my pick for the week.
Wonderful. Well, that'll do for all of us, I think. Tell people where they can find out more about you and your wonderful writing, Robert.
They can find me at Angeles News on the web, and all of my reviews and other pieces of brilliance are found there, and that'll do it. And tell Chuck and Carrie I said hello.
We will do. And Robert, thank you so much for getting up early. I know it's very early over there in California. Thank you for coming on the show and cheering us all up with our discussions about Tinsel Time. We really, really appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin. Say hi to Mickey for me.
I will say that. But one last thing, Robert. Whenever you do win that Oscar for your screenplay, please return our calls.
Okay. I'll have my people call your people.
That was Robert Brennan from the City of Angels, our Hollywood reporter. And we pray St. Genesius, the patron saint of actors, pray for us.
All right, Kevin, it's been a really great week on the Turley Frequency. I really think we've had some incredible guests, like Mr. Brennan, like Mr. Crocker, and like Dr. Schneider. I mean, just a star-studded lineup this week.
You get it all in this show. We even had Mickey Mouse breaking into the audio, which was amazing.
Yes, he was somewhere in the background cackling.
I think he needs to see a doctor. He's obviously out of control, that mouse that you've got in that studio.
It sounds like he may have gone to the dentist and took some numbing medicine.
I'm not surprised. Working for Disney, he probably needs all the medication he can get.
Well, what do we have coming up on Monday? I know you mentioned the nefarious directors again.
Absolutely. We are back in Hollywood on Monday. We are meeting our good friends Chuck Kunzelman, Carrie Solomon, and Father Darren Merlino, all of whom have been involved with the movie Nefarious, and all have very strong views on what's happening in Hollywood day by day, and the renaissance in Catholic filmmaking that is taking place. So it's going to be all these Hollywood insiders on Monday, so I suggest you buckle up for these three, because it's going to be a bumpy ride.
Excellent. I'm excited.
Good. Well, listen, if you've enjoyed listening to us, we do it all again, same time, same frequency, same me, on Monday, 8 a.m. Central Time. But in the meantime, may St. Joseph watch over you and all those you love. And until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you. Speak to you Monday. God bless.